It's good to see each of you tonight. Turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew is where we're going to be this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time to be back tonight. I pray that you'd bless this time that we have in your word. I pray that you'd use it to speak to our hearts. God, I pray that you would help us to truly give attention to this portion of Scripture and how it can help us. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. As was the case this morning, so it is tonight, that it's been a month since we have been in our study of the words of Christ. And so I want to remind us very quickly as to what we looked at a few weeks ago, because there is going to be some correlation and some connection to what was said then to what will be said tonight. You may remember that the story began with John the Baptist in prison, and as a result of his imprisonment and things not going in his life, maybe the way that he had dreamed or envisioned, he began to struggle with some doubt as to whether or not Christ was who he said he was, and whether or not Christ was who John the Baptist had been preaching that he was. And so in the midst of this struggle, in the midst of wrestling with this doubt, John sent some of his disciples to Christ and said, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And so in the admission of his struggle, in the admission of wrestling with all this, what we found is that Christ was very gracious, and Christ confirmed to John through John's disciples that he was the Messiah, that he was the promised one, and the doubts needed to be alleviated, the doubts needed to be relieved. And so we looked at the response of Christ in the midst of the doubt, and we tried to make some application to that. And I'm not going to try to remind us of all that, because that does not have bearing on tonight's message. But I just want us to be aware of what has happened in Matthew chapter 11 as we continue on tonight. I want to begin this message by making a statement that I know I have said in the past, and I think every one of you who are in a similar position as myself, I think you would agree with this, that there really is no greater blessing. Let me rephrase that. I don't know of too many things that would be as much of a blessing as the opportunity to be a parent. Would you agree with that? All right, I want you to agree with that. I hope that you view that as so with your children. I think that being a parent is one of the greatest blessings that I've had the privilege of having in my life. I think all of you would also understand this, that being a parent also presents some of the greatest challenges you will ever have in your life. You just have challenges that you could not envision. And so with that statement in mind, or with that statement made, I want us to think of another truth that I think every one of us who realize we're aging, we would have to admit this, that the older we get, the more stuck in our ways we tend to become. Is that fair to say? I think it's fair to say that the older we get, we kind of have an outlook on life, a philosophy of life, a mindset for life, and that's kind of what we've adopted for ourselves. That's what we're comfortable with, and that's kind of, if we were honest, it's kind of what we want everybody to conform to, is what we have molded for ourselves. Now, I say that in light of raising children, that for myself, here is what I don't want. I don't want to become the old cranky man who walks around mumbling all the time because kids aren't what I think kids ought to be. And that is a tendency sometimes, isn't it, of the older generation? They walk around and they gripe and they complain about everything that kids are doing wrong these days. Now, I really want us to listen and to give attention to this, okay? This is important. Because I don't want to be that old man, there are some things that I have to choose to not make an issue of, as much as my flesh would like to make an issue of it. Well, what do you mean? Well, I mean this. I don't understand kids' fashion these days. I look at some of the things that my kids think are cool by way of fashion, and I think, are you kidding me? You could not drag me out of the house looking like that. That's just not going to happen. And as much as I would love to say no to some of these fashion choices, I have to remind myself that if I go back and look at some of my old pictures, you couldn't make me dress the way I was dressing 25 years ago because that was bad. And my parents had to look at us and say, hey, they're just kids and they dress like dorks and that's fine. Go on your way. I don't want to be the parent, and I don't want to be the old man who thinks it's dumb just because they're interested in it. You know, kids have interests that I don't have these days. I don't know what a PS3 is. I don't know what a PS4 is. I don't know what an Xbox is. I mean, I know they're gaming systems, but I don't care about them. And you know, whenever I hear kids talking about the latest thing, I oftentimes don't even know what it is they're talking about by way of the hottest game and what's popular, but I don't want to be against it just because I don't understand it. You understand the principle here, right? Don't be that guy. Sometimes I hear what my kids are laughing at, and I'll just be honest with you, in front of my kids. Sometimes I hear what they're laughing at, and I think, that's dumb. That's not even funny. It's just stupid humor. But I don't want to be the guy that says, y'all are weird. Stop laughing at that. That's dumb. If they think it's funny, if there's nothing inappropriate about it, let them laugh and put on the complimentary smile and just reaffirm to them, I still love them, even though you sound weird, look weird, and talk about weird things. But as a parent, this would also be true. There are some things that I will not tolerate. You understand what I'm saying in that regard, don't you? There are some things that I don't care what the age gap is. I don't care what the generational issues may be. I'm just not going to tolerate that. And I'm probably going to express it at times, even if it makes me sound like that man. I'm not going to put up with an attitude from the kids. Just saying, in our house, it's no different than anyone else's. There have been times where I've not appreciated the attitude that was coming from them, and so I've called them out on that, and I've just said, listen, no to that attitude. We're not putting up with it, so you can change it, and you can change it right now. I can't really stomach laziness. I don't mind if you sleep in on Saturdays. It's part of being a kid. You've gone to school all week, and this is your day to sleep in. I don't mind you sleeping in a little bit, but whenever it's time to get work done around the house, get up, get it done well, and then you can go about the rest of your day. Get it done. Don't be lazy. It's fair, isn't it? Now, I promise you I'm going somewhere with all this, so just stick with me. Just one more thought, and then we'll head to the text. Something else I will not tolerate, and something else I will not put up with, is being ignored. I don't know if that's ever happened to you as a parent, but you specifically told your child to do something, and they did not feel the need to respond to what you said. Men, if you are men at all, that went all over you. Now, if you're a girly man, that may not have bothered you. But I think most ladies have enough of a backbone that, they wouldn't tolerate that either. So I don't even think it's fair to say if you're a girly man, like if you're just not even a man, it may not have bothered you. And I'm just saying, whenever I speak, and I don't mean to sound like a dictator or an authoritarian or anything of that nature, but, if it does, it does. I'm just saying, whenever I speak, I expect for it to be done. We had an incident recently at our house. I made a declaration. Declaration was not done in the fashion that I thought it was supposed to be done. I felt as though I had been ignored, and I was very frustrated. You as a parent, I think, can relate to such a situation and the response. Not trying to be a jerk. You can wear dorky clothes and laugh at dumb things. But you better do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. Now, with that in mind, I want us to begin looking in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Keep in mind that Christ has just confirmed who he is to the disciples of John the Baptist so that they can take that news back to John and confirm in his heart and mind that Christ is the one that they were looking for. And in verse number 7 it says, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John." So the disciples of John have dismissed themselves, and Christ now is with these people that the scripture refers to as a multitude. And so, as I have said before, we don't know what that word represents by way of crowd size, but we understand this: it was a large gathering of people. So in verse number 7, as he is speaking to the multitude, it says this, that he spoke to them concerning John, and he begins asking this question, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see?" So when you would go out to, see John, what kind of a person was it that you were expecting to see? And he goes on with several different questions. Was it a reed shaken with the wind? "But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet." And so here is what Christ is saying, is he is saying that John was a prophet, and he was a prophet among prophets. John was not just your everyday run-of-the-mill preacher or teacher or something of that nature. There was something special about the ministry of John the Baptist. Look there in verse number 11, what Christ said. He said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." But before that last statement is made, he said of John the Baptist in verse number 11, that of those who have been born of women, which would have been everybody up to that point, he said there had none risen greater than John. Can you imagine if Christ gave you a compliment of that nature? That's something our minds cannot grasp. I can promise you, Christ did not alter his opinion based upon my arrival to this earth. Christ did not say, "Well, you know, John was the greatest born among women until Kyle was born, and then John was bumped to second." No, no, no. Listen, John still holds that position, best I can tell. I'm just saying, John was the man, and John was a preacher, and John was one who was not afraid of offending the people with the truth of God's word. Why was John in prison? Because he preached the truth of the word. He was willing to confront the king, Herod, and he was willing to say, your lifestyle is wrong. Your lifestyle is sin. And because of John's boldness and because of John's tenacity and because of his unwillingness to back down from the truth, it landed him in prison, and we all know how it ends. It ended with John's life being taken because of his steadfastness and his faithfulness to the truth of God's word. So here is Christ speaking to the multitudes, saying this of John, speaking so highly of the ministry of John, and then some more things are said in the next few verses, down verse 12 through 19. But I want us to pick up the story now in verse number 20, because best we can tell, Christ is still speaking to the multitudes. And it says in verse number 20, then began he, that being Christ, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. What does it mean when the scripture says that Christ began to upbraid the cities? The word upbraid means this, to show a great disapproval for something. So here is Christ, and what is he doing? He is showing a great measure of disapproval to the people, to the cities wherein most of his mighty works had been done, where most of his miracles had been accomplished, where much of his teachings would have taken place. He began to express his disapproval of them. For what reason? Because it says in verse number 20, they repented not. It's a powerful statement, isn't it? They repented not. We might change the wording of that just a little bit, and we might say it like that. He began to upbraid them because they would not repent. Well, what does it mean to repent then? What is it that this word means? We should know very well by now because of our Wednesday night study, correct? What is repentance? Repentance is when you have a change of mind towards someone, towards something, towards some course, towards some manner of action. And as you have a change of mind, it results in a change of direction. That is what repentance is, when a person changes their mind about something in their life, and as a result of changing their mind, they no longer live in the fashion in which they once lived. That is what repentance is, and what the scripture says is this, is where Christ did the most of his mighty works, where he did the majority of his miracles, where he taught, where he proclaimed so many truths, as they heard it, here is what they did with everything they witnessed of John and of Christ. They were unfazed. You know what you could compare that to? You know what you could liken that to? Ignoring everything they heard. Ignoring everything they saw. Think about this. They had the ministry of the greatest man who had ever been born of woman, declaring unto them that Christ was the Messiah, that Christ was the Son of God. Christ comes and he does his miracles. He teaches the truths that he teaches. And you know what the people as a whole did? Huh. That's interesting. That's neat. Well, that was a fascinating story. Wow, did you see that miracle? That was incredible. But with everything they witnessed, it never provoked them to change. Now this is important because it reveals a part of the nature of God in Christ. That whenever he and his ministry and his works and everything that had happened prior to this moment, when he was ignored, The scripture says not only did he begin to upbraid them and to express his disapproval to them, in verse number 21 we read this. He said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." You know what he is saying to them? He was saying to them, you are in a bad situation, because if what I have done and what you have seen had been done in Tyre and Sidon, cities that were considered to be pagan cities among the Jews, he said, if they had witnessed what you have witnessed, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. They wouldn't have ignored this. They would have changed their mind and they would have changed their actions. So he said, woe unto you for such a thing. He says in verse number 22, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." He says in verse number 23, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." He's saying if the people of Sodom, the Sodomites, those in the homosexual and lesbian lifestyle, if they had seen what you have seen, they would have repented and they would have remained unto this day. He says again in verse number 24, But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. You know what Christ was saying to the people on that day, the multitude? Because you have ignored me, because you have refused me, because you have rejected me, because you have dismissed everything that you have been the witness of, it'll be better for the people of Tyre and Sidon and Sodom than it will be for you. Christ makes this clear. For me to be ignored, that's something we don't take lightly, and it's not anything that is tolerated. And because of everything you've seen and because of everything you've been exposed to, you are that much more accountable for your lack of repentance and changing the way you're living and being the person you ought to be. That is a powerful statement. Christ does not... Just go ahead and have a seat, please, all right? Christ does not dismiss being, listen now, Christ does not dismiss being dismissed. He does not just brush aside people who brush him aside. Now, as I was thinking about this, I hope this will be a help to us. I hope this will motivate us and challenge us. But as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, I am thankful that God, according to the Scripture, remembers our frame. Yes, sir. And that we are but dust. Amen. I am so glad and I'm so thankful that God remembers and knows the makeup of who we are. Because of that, we are the recipients of His grace and His mercy and His patience and His long-suffering. We're the recipients of that because God knows who we are. Now there's a reason why I reviewed in the manner in which I did. See, because God knew the frailty of man, no matter who it was, whenever John the Baptist wrestled with his doubt, whenever he wrestled with his insecurity of who Christ was, Christ could have come down harsh on John the Baptist, but because he remembered his frame and he knew that he was but dust, Christ showed the grace and Christ showed the compassion. And just as God or Christ showed that to John, every one of us have been the recipients of that. Because God knows we're not perfect and God knows we're not going to get it right every time. So here's what God knows. God knows that we're going to struggle with our own doubts sometimes. Maybe not as to who Christ is, but we're going to have doubts that we wrestle with, aren't we? Absolutely, we are. We're going to have our insecurities. We're going to have our fears. We're going to have those moments where our attitude isn't right. We're going to have those moments where our words were not seasoned with salt. Let's just be honest. We're going to fail and we're going to blow it sometimes. And there is no doubt that in those moments, if Christ wanted to, he could judge us, he could condemn us, he could wipe us out, and it would be justified because really that's what we deserve because of our sinful, fallen nature, correct? Okay, but he doesn't. Because he remembers our frame, that we are but dust. He knows who we are and the struggles we have as humans. But while that is so, there is still this element of Christ with us who are his children. And that is this. When we are exposed to truth, when we are exposed to the Word of God, when our lives are confronted, when our sin is revealed, when it is made manifest who we really are, you know what God expects us to do? He expects us to repent. Now, I just want to throw this in maybe as a caveat, I believe is the right way to say this. I want to throw this in. Somebody may be saying something like this in your mind. What is up with all the preaching about repentance lately? Friends, it just so happens that this is where we're at in our studies, and I can't apologize for that because I totally believe that God has brought us to these thoughts. That there is a need for repentance. There is a need whenever we are confronted with our sin, when we are confronted with our shortcomings, when we are confronted with the hidden things of our lives, when they are exposed, there is an expectation on the part of God toward us to repent and make things right. To change our mind, to change our thinking, to change our viewpoint, and as a result of that, to begin living different. There is an expectation on the part of God for you and I to do that. While that expectation is there, let's just be honest. Sometimes we're like the ones who witnessed the miracles of Christ. Sometimes we're like the ones who witnessed the preaching. Sometimes we're like the ones who witnessed the confrontation. And rather than repenting, you know what we do? We repent not. I don't know how else to say this other than to admit my own failure. There have been times that I've been confronted and I didn't want to be confronted, so therefore I wasn't going to change. I was still involved in that. I was still having fun, and I was still wanting to stay right there where I was, so I didn't want to change anything, and I repented not. Now, I don't think I'm the exception to that rule. I think every one of you, if you'd be honest tonight, you'd have to say this, that there have been times that the truth of God's Word has confronted you, it has revealed your sin, it has exposed your struggle, whatever it may be, and you knew before God there needed to be a change in your thought which would result in a change in your action, but you didn't want to do it. So you didn't do it. So you held on to that attitude. You held on to that lifestyle. You held on to those mixed up priorities. You held on to whatever the sin was. I couldn't begin to name them all. You held on to it. And here's what you and I thought. We'll be okay. I mean, why else would we not repent? We failed to repent because we were convinced that we'll be okay and that God will be okay with it and there won't be any consequence for it. So I can continue doing this. I can continue living this way. I can continue with this attitude. I can continue to treat my wife this way or my husband this way or be this kind of a parent. I can continue doing this and it'll all be okay. And you know what Christ reminds us of in this portion of Scripture? He will not tolerate being ignored. He will not tolerate it. As I just said, He will not dismiss you and I dismissing Him. So we think, well, we don't have to really do that. No, Brother Kyle's just excited about that. And that's a big deal to Brother Kyle, but it doesn't have to be a big deal to me. Even the Holy Spirit, even though the Holy Spirit is saying you need to work on this and change this and address this, we say it's not going to be a big deal. We need to be reminded it is a big deal. Do we have a gracious, loving, heavenly Father who puts up with a whole lot from us? Yes, we do. And it's something to be thankful for. But there are certain lines that will not be moved. He's not worried about how it portrays Him, how it causes people to perceive Him, or even what His children think about Him in light of these lines. And if we dismiss and ignore what we have been confronted with, there will be a consequence. Because with the exposure to truth is an accountability with what we will do with that truth. There's an accountability to that. You and I, generally speaking, we cannot claim ignorance on too many things. Most of us have been exposed to certain truths over and over and over and over again. And we need the constant exposure because we need the constant reminder and the constant challenge. We need it. But if you and I just get comfortable in whatever the sin may be, we quench the speaking of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Friends, we are asking for some serious judgment to be brought upon us. It does not matter how much information we have been exposed to from the Word of God. What matters is how we respond to the information that we've been given. It doesn't matter if we're young. It does not matter if we're old. If we've been confronted with the truth and we deliberately choose to not repent, we're in trouble. In a serious way, because you do not ignore God and get away with it. Every one of us, from time to time, we need to give attention to our level of sensitivity. And we need to ask things like this: God, what do you want from me? God, what do I need to change? God, what needs to be addressed in my life? When the preaching takes place, we need to say things like this: Lord, how is that for me? Because I don't want to be guilty of hearing it, walking away from it, not repenting, and then being accountable for what I've heard. We are accountable for everything we are exposed to, no matter how we respond. We really do need to respond in obedience, changing what needs to be changed so that we can be right with Him. Let's all stand this evening and bow our heads for prayer. Father, as we come to you this evening, Lord, I pray that you would help us to give some consideration to what is said in tonight's passage. We don't know who these people were. We don't know what their situations were, but Christ said that it was going to be more tolerable for the pagan nations, the wicked and ungodly, because they had a chance to repent and chose not to. Lord, I can't help but wonder how often we're guilty of the exact same thing. We hear it, but we ignore you, we dismiss it, and we act like it's going to be okay, when in truth it will not be okay. I pray that you'd help us to remember that tonight and in the days to come. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Lauren plays.